This is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM, and this interview is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, which helps fund local reporting across Canada. Today we're spending some time at one of the Eastern Township's most storied landmarks. Havi Manor, overlooking Lake Massawippi in North Hatley, has long been a destination for visitors from Quebec, across Canada, and around the world. Behind that reputation is the Stafford family, which has shaped the property over generations, preserving its historic character while steadily expanding what it offers as a destination resort. My guest today is Steve Stafford, one of the longtime owners of Havi Manor. Now in his early 80s, Stafford looks back on how his parents first built Ripple Cove Inn after the Second World War, how he and his wife Kathy returned to the Eastern Townships in the 1970s, and how a last-minute decision, made with no financing in place, led to the purchase of Havi Manor. In this conversation, he also talks about upgrading and preserving historic properties, investing in a luxury spa later in life, and the growing challenges hotels face when it comes to staffing and immigration rules. Here's my conversation with Steve Stafford. How did it come about that your parents bought the Havi Manor, Steve?
Well, actually, it wasn't my parents that bought Havi. It was my father and my parents started Ripple Cove in 1946. My father, in a way, was sort of ahead of his time. He grew up on a farm just outside Lennoxville in that flat area when you come out of the turnaround in Lennoxville and then you drive towards Bolio's farm. The Stafford farm there was on the left, and it used to flood a lot, and my father grew up there, and he often talked to me about all the flooding and how they'd have to go out to the barn in a rowboat. But he had this dream. He never had to travel. He didn't have money or time to travel, but he just had this dream about these European inns, especially the British country inns. He loved the idea of the atmosphere, having a place where people could stop and stay and have a meal and enjoy the pub. And he had this idea to start a country inn in the Eastern Townships. He was working in Montreal with my mother. I was only 3 years old. And he half built the hotel himself with his brother, Stiffy, who owned the Cliff House. And, with a wing and a prayer and just really hard work, they managed to scrape together funds to build the initial Ripple Cove, which had, I think, maybe about 17 rooms. And the bedrooms all just had a sink in the bedroom and a bathroom down the hall. And they prevailed against all odds. And my father told me that they survived the first few years because their friends in Montreal couldn't understand how Archie and Betty had quit their jobs and moved out to the country to start a country inn. People didn't even really know what a country inn was. Of course, they knew what it was in England, but not there. And they drove out the 3.5 hours. Of course, there was no auto route. They drove out to Ayerscliff to see what Archie and Betty were up to. And he said that curiosity from their friends helped them get through their first season. Struggled, for years and years, gradually built up the hotel. It was always a financial struggle, but they gradually were able to upgrade and improve it. And to make a long story short, Kathy and I both had, I grew up as an innkeeper's son. My first job was raking the beach at the age of 12. And I grew up there, and I worked some in the office. I worked as a bartender. And I went to business university and then worked for a few years in Montreal and then went to graduate school at Queen's for an MBA and then worked in Toronto, married Kathy, who I met at Ripple Cove. She used to come with her parents when she was a little girl and stay in one of the rooms, and I used to chase her with snakes and crawfish. We started going out, and we got married in 1971, and she was working for IBM, designing courses, and I had a corporate management position with a glass container company. Things were going well, but she grew up in Drummondville. She's another townshipper, and we both had the feeling that we really had fun in Toronto at that time. We had lots of friends. But looking ahead, like having a house, what we could afford, and the way the city was growing so fast, we just thought, we're not really city people. I don't think we want to be here. So Ripple Cove had always been at the back of my mind, and we took the plunge, my father had told me, he says, look, you can't put it off any longer. You have to decide whether you're going to do it or not. Go. We took the plunge and we moved from Toronto and we bought Ripco for my parents, taking it over on June the 1st, 1974. It was a hell of a change for Kathy. She'd never had any experience working in a hotel. And we worked night and day, 7 days a week. And we built the business up in the 5 years we had it so that we were able to meet the financial requirements for my parents, who we bought it from. And we managed to triple the business in those 5 years. And then, you know, we had, it was difficult. And Hubby Manor had always been sort of a posture, sort of fancier competition at the other end of the lake. My dad and Bob Brown, the owner of Hubby Manor, were actually very good friends. We used to do crazy things together. And Bob wanted to sell it to me. I had expressed an interest. Because of various circumstances, we finally decided to go for it and to try to buy it. And Bob called me one day and he said, I know you've been thinking about it. You've been putting it off. And he said, you have to decide, because Mr. Gabber, some of your older listeners would remember the presence of a South Gabber who came into North Hatley. And I think he ended up owning about 27% of the municipal evaluation of the business. And he was an Egyptian citizen, but he had a lot of contacts, it seems, with very wealthy Saudis, and he wanted to, an Islamic technology center in North Hatley, and he wanted to buy a Hubby, and he had a deposit down, and Bob Brown had been putting him off for years, because he certainly wouldn't have continued to run it as a special country inn, and so Bob said, well, you can't hold it off any longer. He said, I've got to decide tomorrow, by noon, he's going to withdraw his deposit. Either I have to accept his deposit, or sell it to him, and I know he'll ruin the place. So I went the next morning with no money and no guarantee of any loans, and in 2.5 hours, I bought Manoir Hubby with Bob Brown and his notary, Tom Leonard, who was well-known in the area. And then I went back, and I said, Bob, if it's for February, I said, I've just got to get Ripple Cove going through the winter, and we got to get ready for summer. I can't run it now, and we took it over on June 1. And in the meantime, I had gone to the Federal Development Bank because I had remembered the manager came to me and we were doing so well at Ripple Cove. He said, if you have anything you want to do, we're going to back you. So I went to him, and again, we had no money at all. And they gave me 100% mortgage. So I was always grateful to the Federal Development Bank. I think it's the Banque de Development du Canada that gave me that 100% mortgage, which allowed us to buy Hubby. Long story short, my brother came in as a junior partner, and Kathy and I stayed at Ripple Cove. We were emotionally attached to it, and Jeff was running Hubby, but he was very young. And about 6 months or 9 months later, we switched, and Jeff moved to Ripple Cove, where he had also grown up, and Kathy and I moved to Hubby Manor. And we had the two hotels. Kathy and I had it for two hotels for 6 years, with Jeff as a junior partner. But I always felt I was at the wrong end of the lake when I had the two hotels. It was very deep. So we sold Ripple Cove to my younger brother in 1985, and then continued as sole owners of Hubby in 1979. And from then on, we concentrated on bringing Hubby up, because Bob Brown had it for sale for many years, and there was a lot of, he'd been postponing renovations and repairs because they wanted to sell. So we had a lot of upgrading and repairs or maintenance to do, but we did it as we could with the cash flow that we had. We had our debts to pay, but we recognized what a special place it was. We stayed there a few days before we bought it. And there's a special ambiance about the place that you can only get with historic properties, in my opinion. I just don't think modern hotels can compare with historic country house hotels. We felt the place was really special. the feeling, the tranquility, the incredible location right on the water on a private drive with a cul-de-sac. And we said, this place is golden. And we just worked on upgrading it as we could. And our standards got higher and higher. And as things carried on, we got better and better known. And we started to win awards. And worked hard on our kitchen, on our dining room. And even started to serve more meals in the pub, the old Tap Room Pub, which many local people know about. It's a great atmosphere. So now we have the two eating venues. We have the more formal dining room, but very friendly, which has won many awards. And we have the traditional Tap Room Pub, which is sort of like a colonial pub full of atmosphere, where you can go and even get poutine or a hamburger. But you can also get venison stew and fried scallops and fresh black cod and steak. So and we serve lunch and dinner there 7 days a week. And the dining room serves breakfast 7 days a week. Breakfast and dinner. The main dining room is closed for lunch. So that requires a big staff. And we've done expansions over the years, gradually as we could afford to do it, always putting the hotel first. Our own finances were always second. Emphasis was on, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, often to be successful, you have to defer your awards. You don't say, have a few good years, say, oh, this is great, and take out money and start spending too much personally. You have to have discipline and delay rewards, and we did that for, 30 years. So we pour everything back into the hotel. And we've done continuous renovations. The last few years, we took an even big plunge, in spite of our age. I'm 82 now, and my wife is 80, just turned 81. And our son Jason was coming into the business, taking more and more responsibility, and getting better and better at his job. So we had, and his wife, Hillary, was involved, and she had knew a lot. She was sort of a spa expert, although we didn't have a spa. And Hillary got very involved with John Hay, who's a well-known designer in the area, interior designer. And she worked with him, and we did a lot of upgrading of the bedrooms. And then 3 years ago, we took the plunge, in spite of my age, and we did a huge investment, way over budget, with big help of the banks, and we added a new luxury spa from scratch, which was way over budget, but is very beautiful. We're happy with the results. And then a year later, we added the 12-room pavilion, which we call the luxury pavilion, and it's got a huge, beautiful lounge. And all the bedrooms are very luxurious, like 100 square feet. Private balconies were right on the water. Kathy and I tried it out. And when you're there in the morning, all you hear is the water lapping against the shore and the birds singing. And it's just a 100 to 150 meter walk to the manor. And it adds to our lakefront. We were fortunate to have about 1,600 feet of lakefront. So we strongly about Hubby is that I wanted to create a place that wasn't just a place for a hotel for an overnight stay or a weekend. I wanted to create a destination resort, a historic resort, but was it also a destination itself. So we have so much to do right on the property, have a complete vacation there. And everything is included in the rates. We don't charge a resort fee. We don't charge for the tennis courts, for the touring bikes, for the beaches, for the paddle boats, the kayaks, the canoes, the paddle boards. And then we have daily activities that are also free. Every day there's something different, like yoga, fly fishing clinic, wine tasting, workshops. liquor tasting or cocktail tasting, and what else? Other things too. There's something every day, an extra activity. Plus, the guests have access to everything unlimited at all times. And then, starting in this year, we're going to also include the spa in our rates. And our spa, in addition to the indoor part of it with all the normal spa facilities, we also have a new 65-foot outdoor pool with a great terrace around it, tiles that are heated so there'll be no snow or ice, and we're heating this new pool. This pool was opened 2 years ago. We're heating it all winter long at 86 degrees, and there's a big hot tub right beside it. So you can be out there swimming in a blizzard if you want, and you'd be perfectly warm. And then the guests, a couple of feet away, they go to the inside of the spa, and they have all of the other spa facilities, plus some very beautiful relaxation lounges, and all is right on the lake. So that was the last hurrah. Kathy and I are still the owners, and we've been rewarded by, without bragging, we've won a great many awards, and we've had international press. And Jason's been great at putting us on the luxury market. So we receive guests from all over the world. Quebecers remain our main guests, but we have maybe 25-30% from the States. We have a lot from Europe, especially France and Britain. We even have Australians, a lot from California, New England. And we have a great staff. I almost hate to mention the number, it's hard to believe. And when you run at a five-star level, we've been a five-star hotel for maybe 25 years now, you need a big staff, especially with a high-end food operation, plus all the resort facilities and the grounds and the gardens. Our staff can get up to, well, I hate to say it, 100 times. But we have it's impossible to hire Canadians for everything. We tried, like many hotels. And Jason was early in doing that. We've been able to bring in international employees. And because we're a Relais and Chateau, which is a very prestigious membership to have, maitre d'hotels, cooks, chefs, if they apply or want to come to Canada, they look and they see we're in Relais and Chateau, and that really attracts them. So we get maybe more applications than most places. And we've been able, we have like a mini United Nations. I'm very proud of that. I'm sort of an internationalist, and I'm very proud to have these people from many countries. And we're like an international family. Of course, most of our staff are Quebecois, Canadian, but we have many from other countries, and it makes for an enriching mix, and actually we all get along really well. There's been very few problems with the internationalism, which we have no choice to do, and now the governments want to reduce that, and I don't know how a lot of hotels and restaurants are going to survive, because we just do not get enough Canadians.
These new federal laws about temporary foreign workers, have they been difficult for you and your hotel?
Yes, well, Jason's been worried about, he was quite proactive. He started hiring people about 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, so we got in on the bottom floor, and we have very good contacts with what they call a headhunter, and he has a lot of contacts in Europe with experienced hotel employees who work for Relais and Chateau, top hotels and restaurants. So we've been able to obtain, highly skilled hotel employees. It's not that the federal law, Quebec, of course, is very involved. Premier Legault wanted to reduce immigration. And also because of the Quebec language laws, they get involved in immigration also. So it's made more difficult because we really have to hire people that speak French to an overwhelming extent, and that really reduces our market for foreign students. So as a result, we have a lot of students, of course, from France, but we have a lot from the Maghreb, from Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia. And some people might think, well, that must be sort of different, because different culture, different religion. But actually, overall, they worked out, you know, really well. They're fine people. They're so happy to be here. And most of them have had hotel experience, and they've integrated very well. And they speak French and surprisingly good English in many cases. You know, we are in hotelery, which is international. You know, if we were only to go after the Quebec market, we'd be serving mostly a weekend market. So we have all the Quebec hotels and restaurants competing for the weekend. We have to try to fill your hotel rooms during the week also, and that's why having international clientele, pan-Canadian hotel and international is so important. We all, you know, get along pretty well, and it's surprising. In Tunisia, actually, I find out it's the only, I think, country in the Arabic world where they have a free university education, which is pretty progressive. So quite a few of our employees from the Maghreb, especially Tunisia, have university degrees, master's degrees even. So anyway, it's working out well, and I just hope the government was going to relax this. I'm in pro-immigration, but I hope they're going to relax this crazy restriction, especially to the extent, especially for those industries that are most affected by the lack of Canadian staff, and relax that law, because it's going to be very difficult. And I think quality is going to drop, and restaurants are going to have to reduce the number of people they can serve, and many will probably have to close. So we just have our fingers crossed for a relaxation of this recent law.
Is there anything big on the horizon for the Hovey?
Okay, Kathy and I are not completely real. I call this, Jason's the general manager, and we have other managers. He's running the hotel, but Kathy and I are still the owners for now, and we're still involved. I call it perpetually semi-retired. We both have offices in our house. There's no plans to sell Hovey Manor, and we certainly don't want to be turning it into a condo resort, although we get a lot of requests from people who want us to put up condos, which they would buy. And certainly within my lifetime, we will not do that. And so we will see. Jason is 52, so he may want to run the hotel for him and his wife. And Hillary, our daughter-in-law, and Jeremy, they may want to be involved and run the hotel for many more years. I don't see a major expansion at the moment. We did, we spent a huge investment on our spa and our new luxury pavilion in the last few years. It brought us up to 52 rooms. And it's going very well. We're very pleased with the results. And we will just try to get more of that paid off and continue to forge ahead and increase our occupancy rate, which is already unusually high for a country in the resort. So we're very pleased with the results. But no immediate expansion plans, but we're always continually upgrading and refurbishing and tweaking. Every year. We just paved our roads in Bahati, which our regular guests will be pleased to know. We paved the main driveway, and we put cobblestone on the drive into the new pavilion. But we're very proud of the hotel, and I'm proud of preserving a tradition, and I hate tearing down old buildings, so I'm pleased we've been able to preserve that feeling of being at a private resort, and we keep that going into the future.
That was Steve Stafford, longtime owner of Hovey Manor in North Hatley, speaking with me about his family's history in the Eastern Townships, the evolution of the manor into a destination resort, and the realities of running a five-star property for decades. This interview was produced for the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, which helps ensure local stories continue to be told in communities like ours. You can find more local news and interviews at cjmqnews.com. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening. And as always, keep that finger on the pulse. Merry Christmas from the Pulse. To celebrate, Here's We'll Dress the House and All on a Christmas Morning, performed by the local group Eight Misbehavin' at La Belle Chapelle on December 7th, 2025.
We'll dress the house with holly, bright and sprigs of mistletoe. We'll trim the Christmas tree tonight and set the lights aglow. We'll wrap our gifts with ribbons gay and give them out on Christmas Day by everything we do and say. Our gladness we will show. We'll dress the table daintily, our finest treasures use. Let all as sparkle it may be, and bright with lovely hues. Then for the feasting we'll prepare a kitchen full of wondrous fare that each from all the dishes rare his favorite one may choose. And ye who mark the Christ shall greet your heart our soul adore, that it may be a dwelling meet for him who now is born. Let all our lovely things give bliss to souls bedecked with heavenly grace, that he may view his holy face with joy on Christmas morn.